Thanks, Peter. Good morning. What a good turnout for such cold weather. Praise the Lord. This is part two. Last week was called An Elaborate Plan. Do you see the new title? Part two is The Elaborate Plan. Well, big change, right? I just thought it was more special than An Elaborate Plan. So I want to talk a little bit about an elaborate plan that's man's plan. And it happened back in 1944. And in the spring of 44 and into the summer, they were making plans for an invasion into France. Now, if you're a history buff, you might know a lot about that. But here's what I read. Over 11,000 aircraft were involved in this plan, nearly 7,000 naval vessels, 54,000 vehicles, and 500,000 troops were involved in this plan to invade France. And we call it D-Day. And they went into Normandy, and they stormed the beach. I was watching a video. They have actual video of the event, and it's pretty amazing, a little bit scary and sad. They lost about 10,000 men that day, or at least during that week. I'm not sure. I think the first day they lost 10,000 men storming that beach. And, you know, for all that happened there, there was over 1 million people that helped in the planning of this event. That was some event. But there's a bigger event coming up, and I have a picture. And Peter read about it. The great white horse with the rider, Jesus Christ, and the angels on horses behind him. Now, this isn't an actual photograph, so don't look at it too closely. But it's a symbol of what we can expect, something like that, to happen when Christ returns for the second coming. What an elaborate plan that God had for us. We talked a little bit about it last week. The creation of man, the fall of man, how sin separated us from God. And God had a plan to restore that through Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, the ultimate sacrifice for us. But Christ has to come back in the final battle. That's the end of the plan, is this battle scene with Christ leading the way with angels on horses. It's hard for us to imagine what it's like. I thought it was important for us to have a picture because I'm really oriented with seeing something. If you could tell me all day about this event, but if I don't see a picture, it's hard for me to really envision what might be happening. The great white horse. Now, 10,000 men lost on D-Day five shorelines, but there's 7 billion people in the world today, over 7 billion people. And only those that are born again Christians will get to go to heaven. The rest are going to perish. Eternal separation from God. And I calculated out using some numbers that maybe are not close, but it looks to me like 6.7 billion people are going to perish because they're not born again Christians. A lot of people think they're going to be saved. They think there's many ways to heaven, and that's not true. And we'll talk about that more, but Christ says he's the only way. And many people think they're Christians, and they're going to heaven because they've been good or other things that have happened in their life. But God says that only those that are born again will be saved. Believe and receive. You know, there's a TV show that I watch occasionally that's called Pawn Stars. Has anybody seen Pawn Stars? And one time they had the battle plans for D-Day. And can you imagine if those had gotten into the wrong hands of Germans or somebody sold it to the Germans for to tell where the Allied troops were landing. There were 10,000 casualties, but just think how bad it could have been when thousands and thousands more people would have probably perished that day if the battle plans had been revealed. They had to be kept secret. But God, His elaborate plan, He wants to reveal to us the final battle. He doesn't have to keep it secret. He's given us a glimpse of this battle. And He even foretells of the battle here in Revelations 19. And maybe more than foretell, He forewarns us. He's warning us of what's to come. Are we prepared? Are we going to be ready? God tells us the beginning from the end. He can tell us what's going to happen on the last day in this battle. Early in Revelations, it says that it's a blessing to read Revelation. So 2014, you've already been blessed when Peter read to you from Revelations. Because in Revelations 1:3, it says, "Blessed is the man who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it." So now that you've heard it, you are blessed. Praise the Lord. And hopefully not the last time you're blessed in 2014. But God says, or Christ says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And He says, He will tell us what is going to happen. The end, the beginning from the end. And that's important. Because we have to have faith that God knows what's going to happen in the end. Our faith is based on things we don't know about. God tells us about this in Revelation, the final battle. Some of the things in Revelation are hard to understand. But some of them are quite easy. You can read about the fall of Babylon and the overthrow of the false prophet, the beast, the dragon, and then the great white horse with the rider. With fine linen, and upon the thigh it is of the rider is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ. That's easy to understand. There should be no doubt in our minds about what's happening here in Revelations. Christ endured much for us. We talked about last week His birth and His life. He agonized over what He had to do. He had to die on the cross. And He shed blood, sweat, drops of blood, agonizing over what He had to endure with taking on our sins and dying on the cross. It wasn't the physical pain of dying on the cross that He really agonized over. It was taking our sins, because that would separate Him from His Father. Once He took on our sin, He would be separated from His Father. That's what the real agony was. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He was attacked verbally and physically when He before the crucifixion day, or before He being crucified, that day that He was walking the path through Jerusalem to Calvary. They were speaking evil to Him, they were hitting Him. He responded with silence. But someday, He's going to be a strong voice. It says, His voice will rock and shake heaven and earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue will confess, but that doesn't mean that everybody will be going to heaven. People will just realize that they missed the boat. Kind of like Noah when he left. And people were saying, "Oh, take me, take me. It's too late. You missed your chance." People are going to miss their chance. When Christ returns, they're going to say, "Yes, that is Jesus Christ, the Lord." But it's too late to grab hold of that Savior, that salvation. 6.7 billion people will be missing the boat. That's today's estimate. Hopefully many of those will come to know Christ before that day. On that day, Jesus will rule as He rides in on the great white horse, crowned with many crowns. And He will be returning for us. You know, there's a cathedral in Milan, one of the three largest cathedrals in Europe. And there's a display there that is so amazing. I was reading about it. It says, well, let's just imagine we're going in there. There's 52 marbled columns as you walk into this cathedral. Quite fancy. And there's a huge dome up on top with 4,400 turrets and pinnacles. Now, I'm not sure what those are, but 4,400. Can you imagine? Just think if we had anything, 4,400 of them up on the ceiling. That's a lot. And as you walk in, you see angels, statues of angels surrounding the area. And up front, there's a window that appears to be a window opening up to heaven. And it depicts not something from the Old Testament, not the birth of Jesus, not the crucifixion or resurrection. It depicts the second coming. It depicts the triumph of Jesus Christ as Lord. And it depicts Michael and the angels as they battle against the dragon. And on and on. It depicts this vividly from one person's perspective. And as I said, that's not a picture, but it's helped us to envision what will happen. It helps to give us a perspective of what to expect. A great white horse with still a greater rider than the horse. Jesus Christ and his armies behind him, coming to set everything straight. What a wonderful triumph that will be. And this is God's elaborate plan. This is the final scene of the elaborate plan. And you get to catch a glimpse of it. And you can be prepared for it. But if you don't get prepared for it, then you're part of the 6.7 billion who missed the opportunity to be reunited with Christ in heaven. Romans 6:23. I've said it many times in this past year. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have. For all have sinned. But what is Christ's plan? 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God wants all people to be saved. That's his desire, that every one of us, all 7 billion of us, be saved. But he wants us to choose him. He doesn't want to force it on us. He could. He could say, everybody, just go to heaven. I changed my mind. I'm not going to use this elaborate plan. But no. He gave us the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior through this plan. Christ died as the ultimate sacrifice for every sin ever committed on earth. So why do people perish? It says in 2 Thessalonians, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Jesus Christ is the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. No other options. You can't profess to be a Muslim and go to heaven. Unless you're saved, unless you're born again Christian. You can't be a Christian and go to heaven unless you're born again. Nobody goes to heaven unless it's through Jesus Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't miss out on that verse, that understanding of that verse. When Jesus comes, it could happen today or tomorrow. We don't know when. Be ready. Be saved. Be born again. Peter read from Revelation 19, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. Jesus Christ is faithful and true. He tells us that he is the way and the truth and the life. That's a true statement. You need to grab hold of him to get to heaven. Much of his battle was on earth as a man. He lived a sinless life. He could have said, I give up. These people are too tough to deal with, and I don't want to take on their sin. He could have given up. He could have left the plan, but he didn't. He remained sinless, and he shed his blood for us. The final battle is really the culmination of the elaborate plan. We have to understand that. We have to understand what has happened here. Christ is coming back for us, if we're ready. You know, sometimes we go through life and things, we see so much, and it kind of overwhelms us, and we seem like we're beaten down and we're getting weak, and we give in to sin and temptation. But we don't need to. We need to grab hold. This perspective should help us stand strong, to realize that we need to make good choices, that we need to move forward, and we need to grab hold of the truth. These events are going to happen. We've had many events in human history that have been really amazing. I think of man on the moon. You know, some people still think that's a fairy tale. It was just in a studio. It's an amazing thing that we have landed people on the moon. But that's nothing compared to what's going to happen on this last day. It makes it look like unimportant, seriously. And our suffering that we go through, we pray every week for suffering. It seems like something's going on. We all are suffering from something, or friends or family who are suffering. And I don't want to make light of suffering, but it pales in comparison to the significance of what's going to happen. If we focus on our struggles in life, on our suffering, and we lose sight of what's to come, we're really missing out. We need to keep focused. We need to move forward in life. Do you grow weary of the evil in the world? The United States, it seems to be spiraling downward, terrible. From politics to our school system to just life in general. It's all seems to be struggling and hurting, and evil abounds. We need to stay focused on the battle that Christ is going to win. We know he's going to win. He's given a glimpse of the elaborate plan. And we need to stay focused on the good things in life that are going to happen when that happens. And Christ's future should give us strength in our faith. Without faith, what can you do? Not much of eternal value. We need to have a faith of a mustard seed is all we need. Just minuscule faith. And seeing this battle victory ahead of time should strengthen our faith. If you don't ever see that picture of the cathedral in Milan, the beautiful presentation, here's a little glimpse of this elaborate plan finale. And if you do get to Milan, take a picture for me. I'd like to see it. But nobody knows exactly what it'll look like. Only God. There was a situation long ago, about 150 years ago, there was a train crash, and aboard the train was Reverend Bliss. He wrote the song, Hold the Fort. It's a hymn, Hold the Fort. And later, General Sherman decided to use those words when he was encouraging his troops. He saw them struggling. He said, I'm coming. And how he said it was, Hold the Fort, I am coming. Hold the fort, I am coming. He was trying to encourage his troops. And that's, I think, what Christ is trying to do. Hold the fort, I am coming. Christ is coming back. Hold strong. Be strong in your faith. Hold to the truth. Do not be discouraged in life with the suffering that you endure. Do not be discouraged with the evil around you. Hold the fort, I am coming. What a glorious day that will be. for those who have kept the faith and fought the battle here on earth. We have our own battles. We need to finish the course. The Bible talks about running the race with endurance. I think knowing the final battle should give us endurance to run the race, to be wise in all that we do. There's another hymn I want to talk about, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's a wonderful song, and it was written during the Civil War days. And I'm not going to sing it, but I will speak it. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's this, the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Christ is returning for the second time to judge the world, to judge us. And he's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. The wrath is God's anger against sin and against those that are against God or hate God or worship false gods. He's going to trample out the wrath. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Nothing is going to stop truth from marching on. This battle is going to happen. I guarantee it. And the truth is coming back to judge the world, to capture Satan and throw him into the pit. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this elaborate plan. I thank you for the wisdom in your plan and that it's available to each one of us. Lord, I ask that you would help us to share this plan with others. Help us to grab hold of this plan and grab Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Strengthen our faith because we know what's going to happen at the end of this elaborate plan, the second coming. Truth is marching on. Lord, I ask that you would give us that perspective. Help us to grab hold of that perspective and not lose sight as we go through life, as we go through this year, and we have struggles and we suffer and we see evil around us. Help us to be strong and move forward and grab hold of that truth. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.